that deliverance from the mire in the past, he now wishes that the Lord would continue to do for him in the present. So he praises God for the past deliverance, but then he begins to pray and ask that the Lord would continue to do this. So if the key word for verses 1 through 10 is the word delivered me, the key word for verses 11 through 17 is that word preserve me at the end of verse 11. He wants the Lord, who had delivered him in the past, a deliverance that was undeserved, he wants the Lord to continue doing that work. And then if I could draw your attention to that verse, you'll see that he explains why he wants this in verse 12. He wants the Lord to continue doing this work that's now preserving him because of innumerable evils. And then he goes on to talk about them. He talks about the struggles that he has with his own iniquities and how they are so close. I tend not to bother you with Scottish words, but in Scotland they have a special word for this. It's called sweert. When someone is just so twisted. So it's like when you say to your children, don't touch it. And so they'll see how close they can get and they'll stick out their pinky just to see if they can touch it. Or you'll say, don't look. And it's just the way the iniquity is. It's twisted. And you're going to face some of that this year. But it's you I'm talking to, and it's your iniquities that I'm talking to you about. You're going to have to face this. And not only that, not only does David ask that the Lord would preserve him, that he would continue to do this work in his life, not only from verse 12, his iniquities, but if you look in verse 14, you'll see that there are those who are earnest about his downfall, those who'd be happy if he fails. So maybe you've had someone say to you, it's nothing personal. Well, this is personal. It is personal. It's because they want you to be destroyed. It's because they want you to mess up. They want you to fail. And so David's experience going forward is 3,000 years ago, but his counsel has not expired. Think of the next time you're checking the milk, that stamp on the top of your milk jug. You make sure it's not expired. Well, David's counsel isn't expired, even though it's 3,000 years later. He's going to give you and me counsel looking forward to 2025. And it comes from this word, preserve. Again, look back, please, in verse 11. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. This preservation has two elements. Do you see them in verse 11? Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. There's two elements to this. So if you think, how many of you enjoy watching sports? This is a great admission. Well, just think of those players on the ice. Or those players on the football field. They're all in the game. Well, there are two players in this game in 2025 in your life. One of them is the loving kindness, thy loving kindness. That's God's faithful love that's going to keep you. It's because he loves you that he's going to work in your life in this way. Though you have innumerable iniquities, though you have innumerable foes who want to see you trip up or mess up or fail. But then there's a second one. And it's the second one that I'm particularly interested in and want to encourage you about today. Look again, please, verse 11. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. That's talking about the word of God. Thy word is truth. John 17, verse 17. So here are the two players on the playing field of 2025. Things that are going to keep you. And they are going to keep you continually. That word continually means, it actually has the idea of something stretching. It's going to stretch to all the areas of your life where you need to be kept. It's going to stretch to all the times when you need to be kept. It's going to stretch to all types of evil that may become one of those innumerable evils that faces you. So the truth of God's word is going to stretch to all those parts of your life in 2025. It's going to keep. The word preserve has the idea of guarding or watching or keeping you. So here we are on the field, 2025. You're in the game, aren't you? You're on the pitch. And there are these two elements, God's faithful love. He keeps us continually. Nothing can pluck us out of our Father's hand. But then secondly, you have his truth. The truth of his word is going to keep you. This word, preserve or keep, as it's translated in other parts of the Old Testament, happens 63 times. And of those 63 times, almost half of them are in the book of Psalms. And in the book of Psalms, almost half of those occur in Psalm 119. There are ways that truth keeps us. But if you turn with me to see these in Psalm 119, it's the truth of God that keeps us, but then that is reciprocal. There is in measure our responsibility to keep God's word. Psalm 119. So I don't think I made that clear enough. We are looking at Psalm 40, verse 11, and it says God's truth is going to keep us. It's going to stretch to all those parts, all those times, all those evils. God's truth is going to have a ministry to you. But Psalm 119 is telling you then that you need to keep it. It's going to keep you, but you need to keep it. Now, Psalm 119 uses many, many words as other or synonyms for the word of God. So let me go through this. If you look with me in Psalm 119, verse 2, one of those other words that's used to describe the word of God are his testimonies. Blessed are they that, here's our word, keep his testimonies. It's going to keep you. But what do you need to do? You need to keep it. The testimonies of God are when God is telling you about something. In his word, he tells you about people. He tells you about life. He tells you about what's going to happen in the end times. He's going to tell you about ministry. He's going to tell you about the church. Those are his testimonies. And you need to keep those things that God tells you. It happens again in verse 22. verse 22, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. And again in verse 129, verse 129, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. Another of these synonyms is the word statutes. So you have to go back to the beginning for this to see in verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. And again in verse 145, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. And then in verse 34, another of these synonyms is the word law. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Another is the word precepts. In verse 56, this I had because I kept thy precepts. Verse 69, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. And verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Some of the way that God speaks to us are in principles. And so we have to find now what principles of the Word of God apply to this circumstance of my life. I'm sure you haven't had this experience that you're reading along and it says, Jack Fancy needs to do this on the 2nd of September 2025. I don't believe that's in there. And it doesn't have your name in there either. There are principles that the Bible gives God's truth to you that you need to discern. How does this apply in this situation? You know, I've got this decision to make. What applies to it? Those are precepts. And his law is talking about how God's law is absolute. He doesn't make errors. He doesn't have to give the Bible mark 2 because he's given it all the first time and he's given it perfectly. And then the last synonym is his commandments. Verse 115. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Commandments is talking about God's authority. He has the right to tell you, this is true, that's false. This is right, this is wrong. I do not have that authority. The government does not have that authority. Only God has this authority to tell you what's right, what's wrong, what's true, what's false. So go back then in your thinking to Psalm 40, verse 11. You need to be kept. Why? Because there are innumerable evils that you face, both from yourself and from the world around you. And as you are kept from those things, it's going to be related to how you and I as believers keep God's word. So I want to suggest something to you. I want to suggest to you then, in dealing on this playing field of 2025 with your iniquities and your enemies, that you need to have a way of retaining God's word. So because of our aging, we all are familiar with someone who's retaining fluid. And there are pills for that. You're holding on to something. Well, you need to hold on to the words of God. If it's what keeps you, you need to keep it. You need to find a way of holding on to it. The truth that God has made known, he's made known in his word. When you were at school, You had to learn to retain information because you needed it to pass the exam. Or you needed it to write a paper. When you passed your driving test, you needed to retain that information so that you could get your license, but then afterward, so that you could safely drive your car. What do I do? I'm at a traffic lights and the power has gone out. They're not working. What do I do? Well, you also hope that everybody else knows what to do. But you retain that information. It's important when you're at that intersection that you know what to do. You retain it. And then you retain your passwords, right? Well, no, that's not so easy, is it? You might be able to retain your phone number. You might be able to retain your wife's phone number. You might be able to retain or memorize your address and your postcode. But if you want to remember your password, what do? You write it down somewhere so that you can retain it. If you can't memorize it, you make allowances so that you can still retain it because it's important. And so if the words of God are what keep you, you need to figure out ways that you can retain it. And if your memory isn't good, you need to make a compensation for that. Get 3x5 cards and stick them on the mirror. Get something else and put it on the air vent of your car. Or on... when I was a new Christian, I would cycle to go to church. And the pastor suggested, well, strap it onto the handlebars of your bike. Yeah, then when I come to the traffic lights, yeah, that was another series of things. You need to do the same things with the Word of God. You need to retain it. If it keeps you, you need to keep it, because it's based upon the truth of God's Word that you'll be kept from innumerable evils that you have to deal with this year, both your own and the others that are going to come to you through no fault of yours. Now, do you think you're exempt from the troubles that are coming? Do you think that somehow you're going to get one of those special blessings where your sin nature is just taken away from you? I'm expecting you would say no, because that's not Bible. No. It's going to these things are going to come, so you need to get ready. If your memory is short, and I appreciate the difficulty for that, then compensate for it. If your memory isn't good, find another way. You need to retain the Word of God. The Scottish mountains are notoriously changeable. When Marina and I were in Scotland back in August, it was brilliant sunshine. It was about 20 degrees. Down where we parked the car, we had t-shirts on. It was wonderful. When we got up into the higher altitudes, there were some clouds, and then the mist came down, and it was cold, and it was miserable. And you could see your hand in front of your face, but you could only see the next steps in front of you. And because it's so changeable, people go out into the Scottish mountains and they're just wearing a t-shirt. They don't have a jacket. They will go with the shoes that they would wear if they were playing tennis. They don't take food with them. They don't take drink with them. And so when the clouds descend and the snow or the rain comes, they're not ready. And so then they have to send out the hill rescue people. Now, when I read about these, they're just this past week, they've had severe snowfalls in the Scottish Highlands, and I read about three people who had got stranded. And whenever that happens, I think, they went out when they knew a blizzard was coming, and then 20 more people had to go and rescue them. And it makes me think, was that a good choice? You're facing innumerable evils. And you'd go into this unprepared. You think, well, it's not going to happen to me. You know, everything is good. The sun's shining. I've got my tennis shoes on. No need for a coat. No need for a backpack. All is well. And then, there you are. That's the time you need the truth of God's word. The second thing I'd like you to see about this word preserve is found back in Second Kings. If you turn there with me, please. So what we've done so far is like a word study. We've looked at the places where preserve is found. It's found in a concentration in Psalm 119. The second way I would like us to see this word is not through a word study, it is through a scene. It's through something that happened in history. And I need to tell you that though the word keep is used here, it is a different word. This word is also used 21 times in Psalm 119, not the ones that we looked at. It's a different word, and it's used 21 times. So the scene that I'm asking to look at, if you look in 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 4 and 5, it is the time of Josiah's revival. So if the first point I wanted to encourage you about is that you need to have a way to retain the truth of God's word, you need to retain it. The second way that we're going to see that we should be concerned about is that we need to obey the truth of God's word. The keep as in retaining it, but secondly, there is the keep as in doing it. In 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 4 and 5, we are shocked that in the temple of Jerusalem, the place where God had caused his name to dwell, what had accumulated there? What had they allowed to accumulate in that special place where God's name dwelt? They had allowed the vessels that were made for Baal worship to accumulate there. And what else had they allowed to accumulate there? Verse 5. They had allowed idolatrous priests there. And these were idolatrous priests who worshipped the sun and the moon and the planets and all the hosts of heaven. How did this happen? How could the house of the Lord become a place for idol worship? The greatest thing about King Josiah's reign happened when he found a copy of the Word of God in the temple. If you look back in chapter 22, verse 13, when he read this, he was really convicted. The copy of the Word of God came to light, and he read it, and he was convicted. And as a result of that, in his 18th year, he led the nation to turn back in a commitment to the Lord to keep the Word of God. So if you look now with me in chapter 33, verse 3. Chapter 23, verse 3. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. That's referring to the copy of the scripture they found in chapter 22, verse 13. To keep it. To keep as in obey it. You and I need to obey the truth. The illustration that we see here in the life of Josiah is not that he didn't know the truth. It's not that he was ignorant of it, but this scene in his life brought about an opening of his eyes to his need to obey it in a greater earnestness. They had become accustomed to tolerating idols over time. They had become accustomed to disobedience over time and compromise and omissions. And a hardness had come over them. But does any of that sound familiar to you? Where we are accustomed to idols in our lives, and accustomed to our disobedience, and accustomed to our compromise, and accustomed to leaving things out that we know we should be doing. And then we don't want to go further in our obedience, and we don't want somebody to talk to us about it, and we don't want to change it. So I'd like to challenge us, both you and me, about keeping the Word of God. I'd like to challenge you about how you're going to retain it so that you have it with you, so that you're in the midst of the game and you're dealing with a tackle, you have the truth there to keep you because you're keeping it close to you. And then secondly, I want to challenge you and me with the words of James chapter 1 verse 22. It's not enough for us to hear the word of God. We're to be doers of it. And there, James chapter 1, verse 22, it uses, I don't know if it's humorous or it is to show how ridiculous this is. When you go to the mirror in the morning and you see that your toothpaste is all over your face, what do you do? You go on the bus and there you are standing with toothpaste all over your face. Or you arrive at work, hi, and toothpaste is all over your face. How ridiculous that is. You wipe it off because you saw yourself in the mirror. And so we come to the Word of God, we're hearers of it, but we should also be doers of it. We need to keep it as in doing it. Long resisted or long justified disobedience often characterizes those of us who have heard and exposed ourselves to the Bible for a long time. It's not that we are ignorant of it, it's not that we do not know it, but it is as if we let a gate fall down so that it doesn't get in. It's not allowed into that area of our lives. We allow it this part, but we don't let it have this part. The challenge from the example of Josiah is to ask you to lift that gate, to allow the truth of God's word to get into that part of your life, to get into your marriage, to get into your home, to get into yourself, because it's in yourself that you will find all the idols. That's where you'll find the reasons you do things and the reason you don't do things. It's as if it's, I am what I am, I'm me. And when you open that door and you let God's word come in, it's as if you are saying, I'm not. He is I am that I am. And to let him be your God. So in 2025, you're in the game. You're on the field. Here are the two players, the loving kindness of God and the truth of God. It will keep you as you keep it. Would you bow with me in prayer, please?